2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Utah's DUI law is not strict. The legal limit, 0.05. Maybe it's not strict enough because it's not stopping extreme and repeat offenders. Well, right now, Utah lawmakers want to increase penalties and do away with plea bargains for repeat offenders.
So the bad ones, the ones that are not learning their lesson. This isn't like, hey, we're dropping the hammer on you if you got caught once. This is for people that are repeat offenders. We looked into the problem, how often it's happening. Debbie's going to lay out the case for us. Then in about 15 minutes, we'll talk to Representative Steve Eliason, the lawmaker that's pushing this.
So let's tell you what's happening so far. A legislative panel just voted to advance Representative Eliason's proposal, and that would increase penalties for repeat DUI offenders and what we call extreme DUIs.
What's an extreme DUI? I think a lot of people are like, wow, what's an extreme DUI? Well, it's when the driver has a blood alcohol level of 0.16 or greater. Mm. So three times the legal limit. Or a driver with two or more controlled substances in their system. For example, if you have heroin and meth.
Uber it.
Yeah, you gotta Uber. Especially with the heroin and the meth.
Are you kidding me? Like, that's the bar? You got heroin and meth and alcohol in your system? Uber it. So here's what the bill would do. Jail time gets increased if it goes through. This is just a proposal. It could also mean home confinement with an ankle monitor that measures your alcohol consumption.
There's an ankle monitor that does that? Wow.
There's an industry for everything. For every problem, there is an industry. And those depend on, it does depend on how impaired the driver was or how many times they've repeatedly offended.
So what else? No plea deals for repeat offenders.
Mm-hmm.
No prosecutorial discretion, which means the prosecutor can't just be like, we'll take it easy on you this time.
We'll cut you a deal. That one's interesting to me. Because prosecutors at the state level, at the county level, have a wide berth in what they can do in order to get the case adjudicated in a timely manner. And so if you take away the plea deal on this, that takes away, as you said, prosecutorial discretion. That doesn't happen very often with state cases. A couple of years ago, when I was with the investigative team for KSL Television, we investigated the plague. We'll call it the plague of repeat DUI offenders here in the state of Utah. So listen to this from our colleague, Mike Hedrick.
5 years worth of documents, more than 8,700 DUIs statewide. 570 of them, repeat offenders, ranging anywhere from 5 to 14 DUI.
And Debbie, this is happening to men. I looked up some data on this. 75% of DUI arrests are men. I mean, not that women don't drive under the influence, but largely this is a male problem. And I think you ask a very, very good question. Why not Uber? Why not Lyft? It's so easy. I can maybe understand years ago, because we're not New York City. You can't just hail a cab easily. We drive very, very long distances. So why not the Uber?
So can I lay out my case for you right now about why we should take a serious look at the law and whether this is the right fix or it isn't? That'll be up to the public and lawmakers to decide. But I sat down this morning, Dave, after I caught this story. I think I read it on KSL.com and thought, we got to talk about this. And in a few moments, we're going to bring the sponsor of the proposal on the line, Representative Eliason, to talk more in depth about whether this has a chance or not up on the Hill in the next general session, or if he's, you know, if he's meeting resistance to it. Okay, so Exhibit A. I sat down this morning, Dave, and I started just Googling, 4 a.m., Googling repeat DUI offenders in Utah. And it took me about 5 minutes to make my case here. So let me bring it to you. Exhibit A, July 2018. Guy arrested at least six times for DUI, caused another DUI crash while leaving a liquor store. Two girls were injured in that crash.
Lock him up. Do I get to be judge, jury?
Yes.
And sentencer?
Please.
Okay, yeah. That person's going away for a while.
Exhibit A plus. This gets worse. November 19. Actually, this should be Exhibit F. This is horrible. November 2019. A man who had three prior DUI convictions hit and killed a five-year-old and injured his mom while they walked through the crosswalk. Took a plea deal. He got sentenced for up to 15 years. Now, I didn't research whether he's still in prison. I would think so.
Yeah, well, I mean, Debbie, you look at the heinousness or the how horrible some of these crimes are, the results, right? I mean, DUI, buzz driving, whatever it is, right? It happens so often because we know that a lot of people drive without ever getting caught. But when you start putting it in these terms, where a five-year-old is killed, the mother injured while crossing,
it's horrible.
You know, at a crosswalk, it brings the reality to it. And it does make you scratch your head. Like, how does this continue to happen when they've had time after time after time and warning after warning?
Final story that I got, I pulled up on Google this morning just to make my case. That's why we need to look at this. September 2008. A man with a near 40-year criminal history, 13 DUI convictions, David, arrested again and then sentenced to prison 13 times, Dave. 13 times he got picked up for DUI.
Because 12 was not enough? Like, you had to wait till lucky 13? That's insane. 13 DUI convictions? And how many times did he not get caught?
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and DeGenevieve. Dave and DeGenevieve.
The question we're asking is, are Utah's laws on punishment for DUI offenders strict enough? The Utah lawmaker now looking to boost the penalties for repeat DUI offenders and clamp down on plea deals.
We just looked into some of the problems that we've been dealing with repeat offenders. Shocking. 13 DUIs for one individual. We're going to talk to Representative Steve Eliason, who's trying to change that.
In fact, he shared with us just before the show information that he says is key to what his bill, the meaning of his bill is.
It has to do with your risk of being involved in a fatal crash and your blood alcohol concentration. The percentage of your blood that is concentrated with alcohol, Debbie, it goes up by an order of magnitude the more you drink.
Representative Eliason, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, our phone lines are working again. This is so wonderful. what do you mean by it goes up by magnitude? I mean, I'm no scientist, but it sounds like a lot.
Yeah, so just a basic example, if you are 20 years old and you are between a 0.05 and a 0.08 blood alcohol level, you have six times the risk of the non-impaired driver of being in a fatal crash. If you up the blood alcohol level to 0.15, of which we have thousands of drivers convicted of that every year, your risk goes up from six times the average risk to about 490 times the average risk. So we know that the higher the blood alcohol level, and if it's combined with other drugs, the risk goes off the chart that you're going to kill or injure somebody. And then, and we also know from the statistics, the person they're most likely to kill or injure are themselves or their passengers. So really we're trying to protect these individuals as well as the public, trying to make the punishment fit the crime.
How often are we seeing this? How often are the DUI cases actually extreme DUI cases?
We have over 2,000 extreme DUI cases currently in Utah a year. Unfortunately, we've been seeing the number of impaired driving arrests go up. We know that liquor consumption is up, especially since the pandemic. It was going up before the pandemic, but then it's got up even faster, both in Utah and nationwide. And obviously, people have that ability. What we want to avoid at all costs is somebody getting behind the wheel when they're impaired, especially if they are extremely impaired, which this bill seeks to address.
Representative Steve Eliason on the line with us right now, talking about a proposal to get tougher on DUI, particularly extreme DUIs and repeat offenders. I was looking up some data this morning, Representative Eliason, on it was actually a legislative report issued to the legislature, I think last year, and it was told me that 30% of people who are pulled over for DUI have had one DUI or more. So that's multiple DUIs. What are you doing with this proposal to address things like prosecutorial discretion and plea deals?
So unfortunately, I'll just give two quick examples. I frequently go out with the Utah Highway Patrol on DUI shift ride-alongs, and I inquired why they weren't spending time in one city in the valley. And they said because oftentimes if we do charge somebody, it ends up getting dismissed by the judges in that jurisdiction. It doesn't really fit under the category of justice for all. Well, if somebody is guilty of a felony DUI, which is three DUIs in a two-year period, this bill says you're not going to be given a plea in advance. We're not going to keep saying stop or else we'll say stop again. You're putting yourself at risk as well as the public, and it's just not acceptable.
You say there's somewhere around 2,000 extreme DUIs a year. I think that's, 0.16, your blood alcohol or higher. What is the best way to treat this? Is this straight up jail time, or is there another treatment option that could be better?
Well, there's an important component of this bill. We've been doing a pilot program called the 24/7 Sobriety Program for individuals that wish to take advantage of this. And it basically says the places we're doing the pilot program, and we are looking at legislation this next session to make it statewide, that even if you are convicted of these crimes, if you enroll in this program, you can keep your driver's license, continue driving to work, and you're taking your kids to school. However, the program is not easy. They have their blood alcohol level checked twice a day to make sure that they are not putting the public at risk. We like to see this coupled with a treatment program so these individuals can get the help that they appear to so desperately need. Another bill that I passed, I believe it was last session, maybe even two sessions ago, allows these individuals to serve the jail sentences on weekends and not have it run consecutive days so they can still maintain their employment, which we know is very important to rehabilitation. So we are keeping an eye on policies that will help these people, you know, walk away and step out of the problems that they find themselves enmeshed in.
Representative Eliason, in the 30 seconds or so that we have left, I think I'd have to go find a new career if I didn't ask you this, because the journalist inside of me wants to know what city you were talking about a few moments ago. You didn't really give us the name of the city, is seemingly not taking DUI seriously when they get to court.
In fairness, I'll probably not go into that right now, but suffice it to say, I think everybody can agree that if we're going to have a set of laws and standards across the state, they should be administered equally. And we've just found some judicial districts administer that differently. And we want people treated equally and fairly. And that's one of the things that this bill is seeking to address.
So that your bill, if it, you know, makes it through the legislature, would in fact take away that discretion that is happening right now at the court level.
In the case of extreme DUIs, again, we have the component in there for the 24/7 sobriety. If they want to continue to drive, they can participate in that program where it's available. But if you have three DUIs in a three-year period or an extreme DUI, that person needs to be off the road. And it's for their safety and for the protection of the public. So that's what we're seeking to address.
Representative Steve Eliason, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.